Now, you may have noticed that lawmakers have been busy this summer, from Beacon Hill to Capitol Hill. Massachusetts Senator Ed Markey is no exception, but he's taking some time now to join us from Washington, D.C. Senator Markey, welcome back to Radio Boston.
Great to be with you again. Thank you.
It's great to have you. And listen, there are many things that we want to talk about, but I think we should start with what is at this point sort of pending news about the MBTA. Reporting from the Boston Globe last night that the T is considering shutting down the Orange Line in its entirety for 30 days later this month. We heard MBTA General Manager Steve Poftek say at a board meeting this morning that something similar, or imply that something similar, could be in the offing for the Green Line. I want to play you a little bit of sound. This is Boston Mayor Michelle Wu about the T in July here on Radio Boston.
Rather than just trying to do a little bit of track here or there every weekend or late at night, actually doing it all in one sweep, getting it done, would then free up resources at the T to focus on improving other parts of it. It would be tremendously disruptive, but we are at that point where prolonging this will make it worse and continue to bring about safety issues.
So the Orange Line starts in Malden. Senator Markey, your response to this potential plan, is it a good idea?
And you're right. The Orange Line starts 4 blocks from my house in Malden. And Malden's a blue-collar community. And they're blue collar workers who use it in order to commute into Boston, and it's just unbelievable, because how can it have worked so much better when I was a boy than it works today? It doesn't make any sense whatsoever. These are chronic problems that just keep repeating. There's an underlying problem here with the management of the MBTA. As we're trying to encourage people to get out of their cars and use rapid transit, increasingly just the opposite signal.
So is this, given the situation that we are in, you just compared it to not as good as when you were a boy, is this the right way to try to fix it? These kind of sweeping, shut it down, get it fixed.
Well, it has to get fixed. And if it's going to be shut down, August is probably the best time. If it's going to be shut down, hopefully you can open it up before Labor Day, because that's the signal where everything is back to normal. But to just get it done and get it done once and for all. But I think the greatest fear that people have is that there is no once and for all, that this is just a repetition syndrome where it happens over and over and over again, and all of a sudden it's a new problem that has been identified. But
are you hearing from constituents specifically about this, Senator Markey?
Yeah, people are concerned about safety. That Orange Line train, where people were jumping out of the train and into the water, well, that's heading towards Malden. And clearly people are concerned. And we should be able to have a reliable, safe transit system in the Commonwealth. We're providing upwards of $9 billion in bipartisan infrastructure funding for the state of Massachusetts, $9 billion. If needed, we can try to work to get some additional funding. But without question, this has to be fixed.
In a sentence, because there's so much more we need to get to, but I'm keying in on what you just said. Do you think it is in order for Congress to try to get additional funding to the MBTA in Massachusetts? In a sentence.
Well, again, we just sent $9 billion to the state in bipartisan infrastructure funding. If it's needed to be used, that's more than enough money to deal with this issue. Yes, we need to replace the bridges in Bourne and Sagamore. Yes, we need east-west rail. But at the heart of this whole infrastructure that we have for transportation in the Commonwealth is the MBTA. That's the core of our transportation system, and it has to be repaired. And the funding that's there coming from the feds or from the state should be used. And by the way, on the ballot in November, there is going to be a vote called the Fair Share Amendment, which is ultimately going to wind up being billions of dollars. And that money is earmarked for transportation in the state. So voters will get a chance to tax the wealthiest in order to make sure that education and transportation in Massachusetts gets the funding which it needs. Right, so we'll have a referendum on this issue on Election Day this year.
Let's move to another public safety issue, and this is at the intersection of public safety and public health. And I want to talk to you about MPV, or monkeypox, currently over 6,000 cases in the U.S. on a scale of 1 to 5. Well, no, let me skip that. Let's jump right in here. Just yesterday, President Biden appoints top officials from the CDC and FEMA to coordinate the country's response to monkeypox. You and several other members of the congressional delegation had sent a letter saying that the federal government needed to do more. Do you feel this was a Biden response to that letter and pressure, and does it go far enough?
Well, clearly, this is a rising pandemic that we have to deal with. And it's good that we now have a national coordinator. A week ago, I sent a letter saying we have to reduce the barriers to treatments, which can help to alleviate the symptoms of monkeypox and do so in a quick response, but we'll need the FDA and the CDC to allow for off-label use of that treatment. In general, in New York City, in San Francisco, in Europe, there is a response which is taking place, which we should replicate in the United States in general in order to deal with an issue which absolutely is going to continue to rise unless the federal government moves in and moves in quickly to provide the vaccines and to provide the treatments which are necessary.
One more question on this. Earlier this week, we talked about the MPV virus or monkeypox on our regular segment, Ask the Doctors. And in that conversation, we heard from Dr. Cassandra Pierre, who's at Boston Medical Center. Here's what she had to say about the state's response.
As a state, we have been hobbled by the restricted numbers of tests and vaccines that have been made available to us. We don't know what we don't test.
Massachusetts Senator Ed Markey, that took me back to April 2020, May 2020. How can we be saying that about something you just called a pandemic, a new one, now?
And you're right. We keep losing the lessons of public health history. And we're taking each one of these events as though it's a new surprise event. We had a stockpile of monkeypox vaccines. We right now have a treatment that potentially can be used to alleviate the most serious effects of monkeypox. But we can't have a public health system that's underfunded and underprepared. We should expect in an era where trade and travel lead to diseases moving, migrating very rapidly from country to country, and not have put in place as the wealthiest country in the world, the stockpiles, the preventions, the readiness system to be able to respond. So it's very discouraging that we're back again in a very similar situation. I'm glad that the president has named a national coordinator, Robert Fenton, to coordinate the response. But again, I share the sympathy of the your commentator,
Dr. Cassandra Pierre.
Yeah.
So let's go on to a couple of other subjects here. I'd like to talk about climate for a minute, and I'm going to keep us local here at the start. Massachusetts is weighing a climate bill. It's on Governor Baker's desk after some back and forth. Here is a little bit of what's included.
Now, there's a lot in this bill, including a change for how offshore wind projects are selected by the state and removing the price cap on new projects. Now, the bill would require the reporting of energy usage by buildings larger than 20,000 square feet. It also requires that all new vehicles sold in Massachusetts be zero emission models by 2035.
Okay, so that is a WCVB reporter in a chopper. That's what that sound is about. You working on climate legislation at the federal level, we know there was a long jam broken with West Virginia Senator Joe Manchin over the weekend. Are you satisfied with the partnership of the state legislature on this and what they have in the bill that is now sitting on Governor Baker's desk?
Yeah, well, obviously, we're not just the Bay State. We're the brain state So we have to go first. In this bill, which hopefully we can get passed in the next 3 or 4 days, there'll be $369 billion worth of funding, a lot of it targeted towards Massachusetts. And again, I continue to be heartened by the leadership up in our state legislature putting together a package which can move the state of Massachusetts to the forefront of the response. But I will tell you this, the national legislation meets our goals. It's a 40% reduction in greenhouse gases. That's big.
And this is the new national legislation come to agreement with Joe Manchin over the weekend. Excuse me for interrupting.
That's right. That's right. It's 40% reduction in greenhouse gases, $60 billion in environmental justice funding, meaning funding that will go to Chelsea and Roxbury and Lawrence and in Springfield. And it will also create millions of new jobs, a high percentage of them union jobs. So it meets the climate test. And I think what's happening in Massachusetts is these opportunities are becoming more and more evident. You know, over in Somerville, at Greentown, they have over 100 startup companies over there. It's like the startup capital of green energy companies in the world. And it's right over there in Somerville. And all of them have been getting ready for this moment with all of this funding, which is coming in coordination with a smart, well-planned climate response in Massachusetts.
And
I think it's going to put us right at the forefront of the changes.
And in a word, will it pass the House?
Yes, it will pass the House. We will get this done. We will put it on Joe Biden's desk. It might have seemed completely unrealistic just 2 weeks ago, but now it's going to happen. And again, it's not just climate, but it's also a reduction in prescription drug prices. It's funding for the Affordable Care Act recipients who need help with their healthcare coverage. And by the way, while taxing the wealthiest corporations in America in order to pay for it, let me give you a couple of numbers. ExxonMobil paid 2.8% taxes last year. Chevron paid 1.8% taxes. So we're going to lift the minimum corporate tax up to 15% so that these companies are paying their fair share of the dues to pay for all of these solutions. And in climate, the problems which they created themselves.
All right. That is Massachusetts Senator Ed Markey joining us on the line from Washington. Senator Markey, always great to have you. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you. Great to be with you.